Hello, everyone. Welcome back to another episode of What the How? And you know what? We have a hell of a show for you this week because we have not just Librarian of the Year locally, regionally, but we have the Librarian of the Year for the entire country for 2019, Sky Patrick. We had a great conversation, and you know what? It brought out a lot about our libraries today. Go ahead and introduce yourself.
My name is Sky Patrick, and I am the director of the LA County Library.
But not only are you a director of the LA County Library,
I'm also county librarian and Library Journal's 2019 Librarian of the Year.
It's quite a title, and I'm very impressed. What are the qualifications for becoming Librarian of the Year?
You know, I can't really speak on that. I mean, a lot of people submit applications or have applications submitted for them, and it's really about your achievements over the year, the ways in which you impact public service, the ways in which you hopefully change how people view library services, how you provide services to your customers or constituents, and so they appreciated what we've done this year. So I guess that's how I got it.
Well, let's talk about that. What have you done this year that earned you Librarian of the Year?
Oh, my. Wow. We've done a lot of things in our library. We've introduced so many different kinds of programs. Namely, we've introduced a lot of programs that try to remove barriers for our customers. And so we have our librarians focusing in on our iCount initiative, which is really to create programming specific to those communities. So not all programs are created equal, and not all programs are for every neighborhood or city.
Where's your primary focus?
It depends. So, like, as an example, in East Los Angeles, we really focus in on ESOL classes or
English as a second language.
Yes, exactly. English as a second language. Some of our other libraries, like down in Willowbrook, we're really focusing in on adult literacy. We have quite a few programs going up towards the Antelope Valley where we focus in on early literacy. In Malibu, as an example, we focus in on speaker series for the adults typically out there. And they really love, like, book clubs. And West Hollywood, we have, you know, the Drag Queen Story Hour, which is appropriate for that community. We have partnerships all over the county. I mean, we have 87 libraries. We have more libraries in LA County.
And you're in charge of all of those?
I am.
All 87?
I am.
Wow.
But I have a team. There is no I in team. So, yes, indeed, I am in charge.
I always like that phrase. There's no I in team.
That's right.
It's the same way we are here.
That's right.
Yeah, there's no I in team. It's TEAM, and it's everybody works together.
That's right. You're the
nobody face. Works in a nobody works in a vacuum.
That's right. Exactly,
you know?
That.
Yeah, what do they say? It takes a village.
It takes
somebody
a village.
Said that once, didn't
sometimes
they?
Sometimes a county.
Yeah, it takes a village, but or a county. And so let's talk about some of these successes, because we live in a time when so much attention is given to our phones, to our iPads, to our laptops, and all those sort of things. So we know what's happened to newspapers, and we know how hard newspapers have had to work to try to keep their business model in shape. What's been the impact on libraries?
Well, I would say that, you know, in the advent of the public the public internet, obviously we all know the internet's been around since the 50s. We've really seen a shift in how people use and gather and receive data and information. So we had sort of an identity crisis, I would say, in my field back in the mid 90s. Early 2000s, but I will, to the credit of the American Library Association and all of the dedicated librarians, we really worked hard to make sure that we incorporated and that we were incorporated into the transition. So we became, little by little, the 21st century library. So we have all kinds of online content, as you well know, streaming books, streaming music, streaming movies. We also allow people to utilize our data when the libraries are closed. So we have our 87 brick and mortar buildings, but you have 24 hours, 7 days a week access to all of our content, or most of it, I should say. So we've really had to work on making sure that we're accessible for the general population.
Is there an app for the county? A library app?
We do have, our county library has an app. It's a brand new app, newly launched in the last.
What's it called?
LA County Library.
All right.
Yes.
I'm going to download it.
It's incredible. Yeah. And so you can read within the app. You can reserve all of your content, all of your hardback books, your regular books. You can stream from the app. It maintains a digital footprint of your library card. So each time that you go into the library, you simply just show your app and they zap it and you don't even need your card.
Well, just
anymore.
Like you do at a store
exactly
with your,
that.
Your cyber wallet.
So it speaks back to the library really continuing to be front and center in sort of the technological evolution.
You know, just for the sake of conversation here, you mentioned that the internet goes back to the 50s. The internet that went back to the 50s was some big mainframe sort of thingy that really didn't affect us as consumers back then at all. It was really more into 2004 when Zuckerberg came up with Facebook.
For the internet? Well,
I'm just saying as a social media device. And so when people started to gravitate to the internet, it happened with things like Facebook and things that made
like
people come together with social media.
Mm-hmm.
So, the internet, the origination of the internet was quite a long time ago. But that was really more for educational and other needs, right?
Well, I won't speak on that specifically.
I think the first one is at UCLA. They still have it over there.
That may be. Yeah. I will say that, I think the internet became ubiquitous probably in the early 2000s,
yeah.
I would say.
Yeah, because you had mentioned 1950s. And what I can tell you about 1950s is it was Pleasantville.
Right.
Everything was in black and white.
Right.
You know,
right.
And because I was a kid of the 50s.
Okay.
You know, and I'm 100 years old. Okay, we know that. Let's get that out of the way. But back in the 50s, it was a very different time. We didn't even have calculators yet. We didn't even have the ability to. I remember when calculators first came out, how incredibly expensive they were.
Hmm.
They were unaffordable.
That's right.
And now you can get them in, in
they're
a bubblegum machine.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
I remember when my watch, I had a Casio watch in middle school that had a calculator on it, and that was a very big deal. Today, I wear a smartwatch that tells me it's time to stand up and lose some weight.
What it means is you went from smart to smarter.
That's what they say.
That's what they say. Well, I tell you what, all these things that organize us, the smart watch, I have one. The smartphone, I have one. The only thing I don't have is a smart brain. But I'm working on that.
Well, come to the library. I think we can help with that.
I like the library. I happen to be a big fan of books. I happen to think that, you cannot go wrong by reading a book cover to cover. And I happen to believe that, if you love books on your phone, which I do.
I
love reading books, and I love listening to books, especially like when I'm driving on the 405 freeway here in Los Angeles.
That's right.
And I'm stuck. I just, it's a great diversion to listen to a book, and if you have a good narrator, then you're just really in a great place.
I often promote audiobooks to Los Angelinos because we are always in our car, and it's a great way to catch up on some really good reading, quote unquote.
It's true.
You can also listen to podcasts, which I'm a huge fan of.
What the hell?
What the hell? So there's a lot of ways in which we are now receiving information, and it's not strictly from the book, the hardback book.
Right. We have a lot of tiers and levels of stuff that comes at us. So stuff is constantly coming at us. It's almost like somebody's throwing baseballs at us. We're ducking out of the way this way, ducking out of the way that way. But the thing is that, everything has changed. Everything is very different. And when I was a kid, I'd go to the library, I'd get a book. My favorite thing to do as a kid, to be honest with you, was to go to the library and listen to a record album.
Oh, wow.
There were little booths.
Yes.
They had little booths.
Yes.
And you'd put the record on the machine. You had headsets, and you'd sit there and listen to a record that I might not be able to afford to go buy at the record store.
Well, isn't that fantastic? So it really speaks again to this whole idea of the library bringing the world to you.
Yeah,
in whatever format. So maybe it was a record or a disc at one day, but today it's like streaming. You have the ability to be at home in your shorts, if you will, and listen to books, listen to podcasts. All of that stuff is available from the library.
But I think your idea of sort of bringing things to the level of people's interest was happening back when I was a kid, because being able to go to the library and listen to a record album That wasn't a book. It wasn't a hardcover. It was a record album.
That's right.
And there was nothing I enjoyed more than going and listening to comedy albums, particularly.
Oh, that's right.
I was a big fan of comedy albums. That was a lot of fun.
I heard this, one of the many librarians I've had the pleasure of working with, she was nearing retirement, and she was telling me at one point in the 70s at a library she used to work at, they used to lend out art collections. Art, like yeah. Literally art on your wall. So again, everything, what comes around goes around. So we think we're doing new and inventive things, and really we're just doing exactly the same thing that was happening before.
Yeah, just in different ways. But I think one of the albums, it's all coming back to me now, because one of the albums as a kid that I really enjoyed was called The First Family, and it was about the Kennedys. Hmm. And so there was a comedian, his name was Von Meter, and he played the part of President Kennedy, and he would talk like this. Well, I just want to say this about that, yeah, right now, and I would sit there and I would listen to him and I would enjoy him, and it'd make me smile because he sounded like the President of the United States, and you know, and so that took me off to another world, and that's what libraries do. They take you to another world.
And if they don't take you to another world, hopefully they introduce a world to you.
That's right. And there was a quote that I had earlier that what books do is they allow you to travel without moving your feet.
That's right.
And I like that quote because I think that's really what books do. They will take you to places. I remember as a kid, Gulliver's Travel was one of my favorite books.
I remember. Yeah.
You know, there were several. I don't remember everything I read, but I remember there were a few that really piqued my interest. Guadalcanal Diary. Why that was a book I found interesting, I don't know, but it was, what was that, World War II? And you know, there were a lot of things like that I just wouldn't have had at home.
Well, we have that sort of experience through books, but we also have it through our programs. And so we do a ton of programming at the LA County Library.
Do a lot of people come to those?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
I mean, so again, we're starting to transition from the traditional book library and book sort of dynamic, and people are coming in to obviously use the computer. There are still considerable amount of people who do not have access to Wi-Fi. So they utilize the library, but also our programs. We had the Lion Dancers just last week. And so, again, bringing the world.
Lion Dancers?
That's right.
Ooh, fun.
For Lunar New Year. This is African American History Month. So we have a series of programs dedicated to this month. Next month will be Women's History Month. So we'll have programs really focusing in on the history of women. And some of those will be book generated or book focused. Some of those will be like performance focused. I mean, we try to, again, and bring the world to people through the library and the center of learning.
I always used to enjoy reading about presidents. I like biographies.
And we have a lot of those.
Yeah, and I know. I would like listening to biographies and all that. We talked earlier about the Dewey Decimal System, and I remember I had to learn that because you'd have to know what shelf to go to. So it was 102 point something or another.
Mm-hmm.
And you go to the little box where the little drawers were, and you look for
the card catalog.
You pull out the card from the card catalog.
We don't have those anymore.
Oh, well. Now you're going to make me feel old, right?
No, we have online public access computers, lovingly known as OPACs.
Does it still use Dewey Decimal?
It still uses Dewey Decimal. But, you know, a lot of libraries are moving away from traditional Dewey Decimal and Library of Congress classification, and they're moving towards a subject base. So if you go into Barnes & Noble, you'll see that it's more subject based. So a lot of libraries are starting to transition to that.
You're talking about genres?
To genres or, yeah, subjects. Yeah.
So it seems to me it'd be a lot easier to find something if you know the title of what it is or the field in which it lies to be able to look that up as opposed to trying to figure out a number.
Well, if you study the Dewey like me at one point, I'm not great at it anymore because I'm not on the floor, but it does actually make a lot of sense.
Oh, yeah.
The 100s, the 200s, the 300s. So it's just another way of classifying content so that it makes it easier on the user.
You know, I think it makes a lot of sense. I when kids come in, what do they gravitate to first? I'm sure it's children's books.
Well, it depends on the kids. It depends on the age. So I would say the very young kids tend to gravitate towards the big, colorful picture books. So they'll go right to them. They're, you know, typically pretty low in the library. They'll sit there.
Low on the shelves.
On the shelves. They'll pull them all off and they'll read them or even just look at the pictures. I have a four-year-old. She can't read at all, but she makes up her own story based on the pictures. Teenagers, they tend to gravitate towards the manga, towards fantasy and science fiction. Adults, older adults, tend to like biographies, interestingly enough, or series books.
Read America Day, where Dr. Seuss is the sort of the subject in schools. Uh-huh. And except for the last year or so, I've usually gone out to an elementary school and read Dr. Seuss books to children in elementary schools.
Right.
And I think the book is not necessarily a lost art.
No, I don't think so.
It's just a morphing form.
That's right. And so you have the ability to access the same information via a book, sometimes the internet, sometimes streaming, and sometimes an e-book.
You know, there are challenges.
So the format changes.
Yeah, but there's so many changes. I mean, there's so many challenges because, look, how many bookstores do we really have anymore?
You know, that's an interesting comment because at one point bookstores were dying down, but if you look at the data, bookstores are coming back.
But the bookstores that are in my neighborhood are like discount bookstores.
Mm.
Like, you know, people are getting rid of their
Who
books
doesn't
and
love
so
a
they're
discount?
Now five. No, I love discount. And I love going in that bookstore, by the way, because I know everything is under $5.
That's right.
But the big box bookstores, like, you know, B. Dalton, like Barnes & Noble, like
Borders.
You know, Borders is gone.
Yeah, I know.
I mean, we had a nice Borders. I used to love to go to Borders, and then they folded up and they went away, and that was the result of the internet.
And I think people started to understand that you don't necessarily have to buy the book. So just, again, having this whole sort of zero footprint ideology where you can borrow a book from the library and then return it for someone else. I think people understand the value in that they've already paid for the book with their taxes. Why pay for it for a second time?
Do you still have fines?
We do, yes and no. So we have fines for late fees. But we recently, last year, initiated a program called the Great Read Away. So what it was is we had an amnesty for everyone to bring back all their late content, fines forgiven, no questions asked. Then right after that, we initiated a program where young people can come into the library, read for half hour intervals and receive library bucks. So we wanted to just not...
Library bucks.
So not just wipe away their fines, but try and get them to utilize the library, utilize resources, our resources. So yes, we do have fine free for children under 19. However, if you have an old fine, you have the ability to now go into any county library and read down your fine back down to zero.
Read down your fine.
The Great Read Away.
That's great. I mean, what a great concept. Read in return for the money that you would have had to have paid.
That's right. Older siblings can come and read to younger siblings. You can read anything you want. You can come and read a magazine for all we care.
I was always afraid, though, that mom and dad would get mad at me for having a fine on a book because I didn't return it in time.
So we have a new student card, again, for students under the age of 19, where if you get that card, you do not accrue fines.
So the idea is not to make it punitive.
That's right.
The idea is to not make people feel bad about the library.
Removing barriers for usage.
Well, that is a barrier because I would feel bad if I had to go to the library and I had an overdue book.
Some people, $5, that might be a coffee for you, but sometimes that is a huge barrier for some people, a Starbucks coffee.
Well, I was going to say, in 2019, that is a coffee.
That is, indeed. But some families, that's a really big deal. And
it is.
So now we've provided an opportunity for those families to make good on their library card, continue using library services, and engage programmatically with the library.
What do you go back, I'm not going to ask you how old you are, but given your 21 years, you go back 21 years, we'll just leave it at that. So have there been incredibly dramatic changes, or is the fundamental library still the fundamental library?
I would say, in my opinion, the fundamental library is still the fundamental library. And the reason why is because you've already stated it. We are the center of learning and discovery. So there are different ways in which you learn and discover, but our core value and mission is exactly the same.
And that is?
Well, to provide services and to provide opportunities for engagement for all people.
So somebody's listening, they don't have a library card. And they, because podcasts are global, they may be in some other city somewhere. That library card is a valuable thing to have, isn't it?
I think it's one of the best cards you can have.
It's What's a key. It opens the door.
That's right. And we have a myriad of different kinds of cards for different kinds of customers. And so I would say we even have an online card. So you can use our online resources without ever having to come into one of our brick and mortar buildings.
And to be clear, and we kind of glossed over it a little bit, but there are apps where you can download books and listen to audiobooks and things like that. There's, of course, Audible.com, which is a commercial one
that
by
you pay
Amazon.
For. That's right.
If you can afford it.
That's right.
But there are the library ones that are free.
All free.
And so you can download a book. I know some of you are shaking your head saying, I didn't know that. But you can download a book and you can listen to that book and you can learn from that book.
And it expires, so you never accrue a fine. So it automatically expires for people who forget to turn their things in.
Well, that's just fine with me. All right, what's sort of the bottom line? I mean, you know, it's a great opportunity. First of all, I just want everybody to know, I'm looking at this journal, Library Journal. This is sort of, is this the Bible for librarians,
it
sort
is.
Of?
Yes, it is.
It's called Library Journal, and it's a nice glossy magazine, looks like about 104 pages for this one, and right on the cover is Skye Patrick. See? Everybody look. You see? Now, she looks great. She looks great. She's on a motorcycle. Why are you on a motorcycle?
Well, I just wanted to just kind of reintroduce another concept of what a librarian is. I don't shush people. I don't wear a bun. I wear a leather jacket and sneakers, and I ride a motorcycle.
Yeah, you don't look like a librarian.
Yeah.
But I want to talk about that shush thing, because when I was a kid, if I opened my mouth, here's what you'd hear. Shh.
Yeah, we don't do that anymore.
Shh.
Because the library is now meant to be inclusive and is meant to be welcoming to all people. So having this whole shush mentality has changed over the last, I would say, 15 or so years.
But what if somebody wants to concentrate?
Well, I would say if the library is too loud at 3 o'clock, which it usually is, I would suggest you come earlier. So a lot of older adults, you know, have that same issue. The library is too loud. Then we recommend that they come earlier. Most of our new build libraries, we have like study rooms. We have actual glass rooms, or in some cases, glass bubbles, where you can go in and still kind of interact with the library, but it's quiet.
Glass bubbles?
So our new library in Live Oak will have literally a bubble, sort of a
round. It'll be round?
A sphere in the middle of the library that's all glass.
Oh my gosh.
That'll be high tech. I think we're putting in one there so that you can still, of course, engage. We can see you, the library staff, but then it's 100% silent.
When's that opening up?
That should open next May in 2020, May of 2020.
Oh, I want to see that. You'll invite me?
Toronto Public Library has them if you go online.
Toronto's got it?
Yes.
What a great idea.
Yeah.
What a great idea. Well, you know, we talk about an awful lot of things on this podcast, but, you know, rarely do we have the opportunity to talk about something as simple as a book. And you know what? I'm going to tell you something. A book is a very valuable thing. And the next time you grab one, open it up, look at it, and maybe you won't like the topic, and maybe you will. But the book, there's a lot of respect to be given to books.
I agree.
You know, and on that note, congratulations on being Librarian of the Year for 2019.
Thank you. I appreciate it. Thank you for inviting me.
What a great conversation and great insight into what our libraries do today. Thanks for joining us. Please subscribe if you haven't already, and we'll see you next time.